we're going to see that Perek Bet basically continues the Sifru Tana'um. It continues the same style, the same method of a parent sitting down and actually speaking to a child and explaining to them the advantages of an ethical behavior, an ethical outlook, b'tchilat darko, right, at the beginning of this child's life. And we're going to see another incentive now in Perek Bet. B'ni imtikach amarai umitzvotai titzvonitach. So now, on the contrary, if you listen to me, which, by the way, is a wonderful reverse psychology first, don't listen to them, because mamash lo kedai. It's really not worthwhile. Instead, listen to me, because if you do, and you are consistent, and only that, a very interesting word that's used here, umitzvotai titzpon itach, which, as we know, doesn't just mean you hide my mitzvot, the commandments inside of you, meaning you keep it and you internalize these ideas. We know the term matzpun comes from here. What's your matzpun?
Conscience.
Your conscience. That's exactly it. Lahakshiv lochochma. Here you're going to be conscious, basically, of wisdom. And we're talking about lahakshiv lochochma aznecha. Be very sensitive and conscious of the behavioral wisdom. Tatel lebcha latvuna. As soon as you do this, you're automatically applying your heart to understanding more. Ki'im labina tikra. And you can imagine there are all these beautiful midrashim on each one of the psukim, as if one is actually kind of calling to a person, even bina. Ki'im labina tikra. Because if you cry after wisdom, in other words, you search for it and you pronounce it and you live this way, latvuna titen kolacha, you lift up and you help propound these ideas of morality. In tivakshena kasef v'chat chamat monim tachapsena, if you seek it out like silver. And he's already saying that this is worthwhile. Do you remember how this is completely contrary to Perek Aleph, where he said, how are people going to entice you to negative behavior? They're going to tell you there's a lot of money as a result. We'll murder this person and then we'll split the spoils. He says, no. There's much greater reward, and therefore using the same term. If you're really seeking rewards, the chamat monim tachapsena, and you search for morality, and as if this is the greatest treasure, as tavin yirat Hashem, then you'll also gain a greater knowledge of God, meaning this is what God wants. Vidat elokim tzimtzan, you'll understand, and knowledge of Hashem. So automatically, without stating it in black and white terms, by saying, yes, be frum, right, be dati, follow the mitzvot of Hashem, instead he says, no, automatically, just by living a moral life, and we know that the Nevi'im, the prophets throughout the ages, say this, that how does Hashem really want us to develop a relationship with him? Again, if we just quote even the famous Navi, Micha, what does Hashem want? Ma Hashem doresh mimcha, kiim? Asot mishpat ve ahavat chesed v'atzmei alechet amalukacha. And it seems that even tzniut is talking more about ben adam l'chavero. That's certainly how Chazal Masechet Sukkah understand it. And therefore we see consistently, right, knowledge of God goes hand in hand with this concept of imitat yodei, and imitate the ways of God in the realm of tzedek and mishpat, morality, justice, righteousness. Ki Hashem yiten chokma mipiv datu tuna, because it's Hashem who gives wisdom, and out of his mouth basically comes knowledge and understanding. And once again, we're not just talking about esoteric ideas, we're speaking about morality. Utzvon la'yisharim tushia, and God is the one who establishes wisdom for the righteous. Magen lohochetom. Here you find that word again that reminds us of bitachon. Magen lohochetom. God is the one who will protect those who walk in this upright manner. And here again we see the same idea, that this is in your best interest. I'm not just telling you this because I want you to be a moral fine, person, but it's because I want you to be secure, lintzor or chot mishpat, to keep the proper path of judgment. And then, the derech chasidav yishmor. God will preserve the ways of the chasidim, of those who are consistent in the behavior. As tavin tzedek umishpat umisharim kol ma'agal tov. And then you will understand, once you walk this way, you will understand what righteousness is. You will understand what mishpat is, umesharim. By the way, this is a term that we know Shlomo HaMelech uses not only here, but also in Shir HaShirim. We're going to find particular words that are, I would say, more indigenous to these respective svarim. For example, in Shir HaShirim, mesharim ahiducha. Who are these people? These are the ones who walk yashar, who are consistently straightforward. As tavin tzedek u'mishpat u'misharim kol ma'agal tov. And you will continue along the straight path. This, as we know, is one of the most basic ideas, not only in psychology, but for those who quote Chovot HaLevavot, Rav Bachya Ibn Pakuda says this all the time, Acharei ha'pu'ulot nimshachim halvavot. That if you act in a moral way, then what will happen? Then you will be moral, and you'll understand some of these nuances. And keep in mind that, especially if this is coming from Shlomo, Chazal say wrote this after that dream in Givon. Remember, what did he ask for? Chochma lishpot. And that's a strange request, right? Wisdom to know how to judge people. And here he's explaining, what's the best way to have wisdom to judge other people correctly? Be sensitive yourself, right? Be a moral person who's consistent in your behavior, and then it'll be so much easier to be able to define not just good from bad, but truth from falsehood, and right from wrong. Pasuk Yud, Ki tavo chochma b'libacha v'dat l'nafshecha yin'am. He says, and then what happens is that you yourself have this wisdom just by practicing it, and knowledge, you know, will be pleasant to you. So notice what else he's saying. He's saying, once you're a moral person, you'll be able to be much more sensitive and to other people's behaviors, and to know how to judge them. And we know this, right? Not only by virtue of the fact that we believe that by learning Torah, we're automatically affected by that knowledge, right? It's supposed to alter our personae, our personalities, which is a beautiful idea. And people who are involved in godliness automatically, right, will be much more attuned and sensitive to issues of morality, right, of right and wrong. And not only that, but it will be easier for one to learn. Right? He says, then da'at, and da'at here is different than the chokhmah that he's been speaking about. Knowledge in general will be more pleasant to you. Can anyone explain that to me? How is it that if you're moral and you act morally and you are more sensitive to issues of morality, then you'll also find knowledge much more pleasant? Why is that?
Then if your entire world has become more clear and things are less blurred together, you have to know what's what.
Very nice, right? Meaning especially when you're young, meaning it's one can even argue that you see things more clearly, right? And things will just come to you a little more. Also, don't you find that the more you learn and the more you're engaged, the more that you put your learning into practice, then what happens? You want to learn more. That's exactly it. It excites you to appreciate what it is that you learn. And that's what he's trying to explain to a young child, that I'm not teaching you, philosophical ideas. I'm teaching you very practical ideas that are going to help you for the rest of your life. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Mizimah Tishmor Alecha. And therefore he says, okay, be very careful also when it comes to discretion. Tzfunat Tzinsrecha. And you should recognize that the understanding is going to guard you. La'atzilcha miderech ra. It says, remember I just told you, stay away from all the evil? So generally we say, sor meira va'aseh tov. Stay away from the evil and then do good. That's how he started. But then he says, you'll find that once you're moral, what will happen? That in itself, the aseh tov will protect you from doing any evil. That will save you from all those people who try to confuse you and try to distort your understanding of things. So not to worry. If you have a sense of morality, then that will keep you straight. So now he wants to give a picture of what happens if you leave the path. He says there are two things that can happen. Either you never learn morality and then you're vulnerable to being enticed by all negativity, or you learn morality and yet you say, you know, let me try this out. Let me also go after those who are in what he calls darche choshech, right? The ways of darkness, right? That's immorality. Pasuk Yudalit, hasmechim lasot ra. Because you can imagine, even a young child, it looks like all those people who are performing evil, all the ones who are doing drugs and alcohol or whatever you want to define as somewhat immoral, well, it looks like they're having a good time, doesn't it? So you may say, I don't know, they're happy. Yagilu b'tapuchot ra, right? They delight in all of the wickedness that they're doing. Asher orchotehim ikshim. But you should know that these ways are very crooked. Unelozim b'maglotam. And they're actually, he's playing off of Aliza, but Naloz, right? That they're not happy. they're actually distorting again, or they're perverse. Gan'ena, they're ma'agalot, right? Literally, they're circles, they're paths. La'atzilcha mi'isha zara. He says, the wisdom that I'm giving you, hopefully, will deter you from going after what seemingly are these superficial enticements. And now he's going to incorporate what I had already mentioned is going to be one of the dominant Mishalim and Sefer Mishlei. That morality and studying morality and learning about it, but ultimately internalizing and practicing ethical behavior will save you from the wicked woman. Now, I just have to make this very, very clear. I know we're going to pause for a moment because we're going to see, especially over the next three chapters, he's going to be consistent with this mashal, with this allegory of a woman. Now, by the way, does it surprise you that Shlomo is going to use the mashal of woman in his various literature? Think about it. It's in Kohelet in Perek Zayin, and also in Shir HaShirim, the entire Sefer, and in Mishlei. Now, Shir HaShirim, we could argue that the Ra'ayah is a very positive figure. It's clear that the Dod wants to have a relationship, an intimate relationship with the Ra'ayah, but in Kohelet, the Isha, the woman, is used as a symbol of Chochmah Ra'ah, right? All the negatives of wisdom. And here we're going to see that Mishlei really combines these Mishalim. But right now, she's also used in a negative context. So firstly, Anna, that does not necessarily mean that there's chauvinism in Mishlei. Rather, the woman really is a very common mashal. And it makes sense that Shlomo, who had 1,000 women in his life, right, would use it, some in a positive way and some in a negative way. Particularly, remember we saw how Mishlei may have been written towards the end of his life, especially where we find in Sefer Malachim that by Perek Yud Aleph, Ushlomo Ahav, instead of Hashem of Perek Gimel, and Ushlomo Ahav Nashim Nachriot Rabot Ve'et Bat Paro. He loves all these foreign women. So, well, we definitely know that women can lead one astray, but here he means it even in a somewhat different manner. One of the Mishalim that I'm going to say even has stood the test of time is the Mashal of a woman, as opposed to many Mishalim that change over the course of time. Just to give you an example of this, if, and I don't know how many of you remember this, but the Marlboro Man, you know, Marlboro cigarettes in the 70s and 80s, no, okay, before your time, they say there, but the Marlboro Man, what did he represent? He was a, you know, rustic man with a cowboy and a lasso around his neck and always with a Marlboro cigarette. And he represented manifest destiny and the idea of, you know, the rugged American out to conquer. Today, what does he represent? Lung cancer, right? By the way, he died of lung cancer, right? Meaning those same cigarettes that represented bravado of the 70s obviously represents death and demise of today. Or I'll just give you another example of this. Here's a good one. In the 1800s, what did a gun represent? Think of a rifle. What did it represent in the 1800s? Nice. Very nice. Rights, believe it or not. Freedom. And the frontiersmen. And de Tocqueville's America. Right? Today, what does a gun represent? Violence. And lower class. And shootings. That's right. Yeah, not to give you a sense of that. However, and I'm not embarrassed to speak about this, what does a woman always represent? 1,000 years ago, and even today, think of how companies use women, whether it's the Coca-Cola bottle. Do you know the Coca-Cola bottle? Right? Fashioned for, right? Connected with the torso of a woman. You did know that.
Oh.
No. Oh. Okay.
Can't unthink that.
Yes, the hourglass was fashioned after. Okay. Or don't you find it interesting that in selling sports cars, like generally it's a woman who's lying on top of the car? Do you ever find that interesting? She's not even driving the car. She's lying on top of the car. Why? What does a woman represent? Seduction. Thank you. That's a perfect word. Right? A woman represents seduction, which, by the way, as I said, I'm not embarrassed to say this as a woman because we are seductive creatures. Again, in the sense that we can seduce. By the way, I will quote for you Big Fat Greek Wedding. Right? The man may be the head, but the woman is the neck.
She could turn the man any way she wants.
Excellent. Again, that's called seduction. Now, by the way, is that negative? Is that negative? It can be. Again, if she seduces for evil. And It doesn't have to be if she seduces for something positive. And we're going to see all the midrashim that you're familiar with the wife of Korach or the wife of Om Ben Pelet. You know what I'm talking about? Not to worry, because we're going to see the psukim that Chazal are going to base in Sefer Mishlei. Speaking about, on one hand, Chochmat Nashim Banta Beita, but you could also have women who completely destroy it. So we're going to see those psukim. But here we already find a hint for it, which is why Chazal are so sensitive to these midrashim and Sefer Mishlei, because when they talk about, the morality that I teach you is going to save you from the Isha Zara. The Isha Zara doesn't literally mean it will save you from the evil, strange woman. It will save you from negative seductions. Say there, that's what he means. But let's use the mashal. It will save you from the strange woman, Minochria Amara Hechlita, from the stranger who flatters you or basically causes you to slip with her words, right? She's very seductive. And what will she do? Pasuk Yudayin, ha'uzevet aluf ne'ureha ve'etz brit Eloheha shachecha. What she did is she herself left the lover of her youth and left the covenant with her God she forgot about. In other words, she herself is very promiscuous. Ki shacha el mavet beita. And then what does she do? She lures those, again, into her house. She basically leads you to death. Ve'el rifa'im ma'aglotaha. And surrounding her are all the ghosts, right? So we have this picture of, I don't know, the Wicked Witch of the West or something. Again, but basically she brings you in. She's very enticing. She is very seductive. So beware of this woman. Kol ba'eha lo yishuvun. Whoever goes her way, they never return. V'lo yasigu orchot chayim. And then you're going to miss out on this wonderful life that I've been speaking about. You're not going to have a proper path of life. Pasuk chaf leman telech b'derach tovim. And that's why I have to teach you and ingrain you with a sense of morality to keep you away from these strange women. Again, to not literally keep you away from strange, promiscuous women, but to give you enough fortitude so that you can withstand those various influences throughout life. I want you to be able to maintain the path of the righteous. Ki yisharim yishkenu aretz, because it's only those that are upright who will be able to not just live in the land, but will be able to stay here. Utmimim yivatruba. And it's the tmimim who will be able also to remain. Right? Again, the notarim, they will stay here even when all the wicked are gone. Urishaim mi'eretz yikaretu uvogdim yitzchu mimena. And the wicked ultimately will be cut off, and those that are sinful obviously will be rooted out of it as well. So here he's going to be elaborating on these themes of bitachon. We're going to see that there is another incentive that he's going to continue with in the next two prakim that are also, I'm going to say, very seminal for any young child to be encouraged, right, in a proper path. We're going to see it's not only bitachon and the sense of security for the short term, but the long term, right, saying, not to worry, mommy will always be here, right, I'll come back. So too, you will always be here. We know that moving for a young child can be very traumatic because that sense of bitachon is so important for a child, again, stability, and that's what's being promised to him. And that if you maintain a proper lifestyle, not only will it fortify you against all different types of negative influences around you, but it will also keep you straight, and it will also benefit you and for the short term and the long term. Okay.